Romans chapter 1. This is one of the chapters. Now, I don't think I could do it any longer, but when I was younger, I tried to commit this chapter to memory. And we ought to, you know, we ought to continue that, right? No matter how old we are, we should be working on memorizing Scripture. Another one that I tried to memorize, I don't know if I can do it completely now without reviewing, was Hebrews chapter 1. And we ought to find Scripture that blesses us and try to memorize portions of Scripture throughout our whole life. We ought to be doing that. Romans is one that's one of my favorite, and one of my favorite New Testament characters, probably a lot of preachers, is the Apostle Paul. And he's just one of my favorite guys. I like him. The Lord gifted him with an incredible mind. He presented to all, in all of his epistles that he has, if you'll read and study them, you'll see it's almost in lawyer-like fashion that he presents his case concerning the gospel, because the Lord had gifted him so much. And we have that in the book of Romans. And we're going to go to the book of the Romans this morning. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated in the gospel of God. We're going to underline that. If you underline in your scriptures any, mark the word gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Concerning, here's who is concerned in the gospel, who it's all about. His son, who class? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Notice what it says, which is made of the seed of David according to the flesh, but still and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. We have a living God this morning. We can meet together and know that our God lives. Jesus Christ is alive. The gospel is about a risen Savior who came to this earth. He gave himself a sacrificial gift for my sin and for your sin. He became the substitute in our place so we would not have to be condemned to hell if we only do one thing. And we'll look at that in just a minute. Look in verse 5. By whom, Paul the Apostle is talking about his apostleship, we have received grace. Before he was an apostle, he was a saint. He trusted the Lord as his Savior. If you've trusted the Lord as your Savior, you have received the grace of God. Paul had a special appointment and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of the Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Underscore that word faith, would you please? We've underscored the word gospel of God. We've now underscored this word faith in verse 12. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let, or hindered, is what that word means, hitherto, before this time I was hindered, that I may have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. Underscore that word gospel. There it is again. To you that are at Rome also. This is a great passage. If you've been a Christian, and there's no doubt you've heard this passage of Scripture before in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Underscore that again. Of Christ. For it, the gospel, the good news of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We're going to continue reading the rest of the chapter here in just a minute. But I want us to stop this morning on this resurrection day, and I want us to be reminded of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us. He gave himself as a substitute for our sin and your sin. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior before, you're going to hear in the message to follow, I'm sure, from Pastor, the good news again. The good news is there is an eternal punishment to shun, and there is an eternal heaven to gain by believing the gospel. The gospel is simply this: God, Jesus Christ, who was God Almighty, became flesh, born of a virgin, showing still his deity by being born of a virgin. He lived on this earth for 33 years, sinless, separate from sinners, but the friend of sinners. Isn't that amazing to you? You know, we can't be that way because we're sinners, and when we get around other sinners, we sin, don't we? But our Lord was separate from sinners, and he came and lived on this earth sinless for 33 years. Gave himself up as the spotless Lamb of glory, and died for us that awful death that we read about in Scripture concerning Calvary. Then 3 days later, the Bible tells me that he arose from the grave. That's the gospel. And he lives evermore, and he intercedes for those who've believed in him. There's the gospel message. Well, it's not real profound, is it? Other than the fact that Christ is profound. Some things that he done were miracles. But in order for us to receive, in order for us to attain heaven and to be in the presence of God, and I think as Christians sometimes we think about heaven. That's fine. That's where the Lord is. I go to prepare a place for you. I understand that. I believe for the Christian it ought to be more about being in the presence of God than it would be the streets of gold. The gold's there, right? But it's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ who ought to be the objective of our goal. And one day, he's going to call all of his children who have believed in him. And as simple as that, belief in what Christ has done. That's the gospel message. And here's the rest of it. What about those who don't believe? What about those who don't believe? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Has there been a time in your life where you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, his substitute for you? I hope so. I hope that there's been a time you trusted that Christ died for your sin and you've trusted in him. There are people who don't believe that. There are people who have heard the gospel and they reject it. What happens to a man who rejects the gospel? What happens to a man who says, well, you can't hold me responsible, God, because I never heard? Well, the scripture here in Romans chapter 1 covers a few things. And I want us to look at those from chapter verse 16, verse 18, verse on. Notice carefully, verse 17. For therein is the righteous, for where? The gospel. For in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by what, class? Faith. There's belief in Jesus Christ. Now, notice this. For the wrath of God, verse 18, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. This word hold is a suppression. This is the first point about what unbelieving men do with the gospel. Number one, unbelieving men, they ignore the facts of God. Now notice with me here in verse 18. Who hold, in other words, there's truth there, but they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In their sin, they would rather have their sin than they would know about a holy God who died for them on the cross of Calvary. And lost men who do not trust the Lord Jesus Christ, what they are practicing in their life is an ignoring of the facts. They're simply saying, I suppress it. I don't want to know. Have you ever had bad news come in your family? If you've ever had bad news in your family, would you raise your hand? Sure. We've all had bad news. You ever read a book about maybe a war, a person who went off to war, and maybe the book has a story about the mother who's expectantly looking for maybe that son to return home from war. And she receives a knock on the door. Dad receives a knock on the door. And there standing is not her son, but maybe two gentlemen who are representatives of the government for which he fought, standing there to tell them that the son has died. And they would say something, "I don't even know. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear. I don't want to know that bad news." How many of you welcome bad news? Well, none of us. You know, as a parent, I don't welcome bad news from misconduct from my children. I can't wait to hear about it. Oh, sometimes we're like, "I don't want to know. I don't want to know." We have good news, though. It's not bad news we've been given here in Scripture. It's good news. And unrighteous men who reject the love of God do so of their own will. And what they do is the first step in a declension for them, a declining for them, is the first step of ignoring the facts of God. What a shame. Look with me here. Continue reading verse 19. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest" where? "In them." God has made known to them. They ignore the facts that God has placed in their own conscience, number one. Do you believe in Christ Jesus? Have you ever trusted Him as your Savior? Or have you rejected Him? Perhaps you never heard the gospel message before. May I say to you that God has put in your conscience the ability to know that He is who He says He is. Let's continue reading here, please. It says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God," what's the very next word? "Hath showed it unto them." Who showed it to them inside of them? "That which may be known of God is manifest in them." Who put that in them? Class? God did. When God created you, God created me, He created every individual with the ability to understand that He is who He says He is. We have it in black and white right here in Scripture. And the fact of the matter is, man chooses to ignore the facts of God, even though God has placed in them the ability to understand what's going on. What a tragedy. What sadness that is. Amen? How sad. What a sad life. Continue reading. Not only is this fact of God that they ignore from within them, because that, verse 19, "which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of" who, class? "Him. From the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are" what, class? "Made, even His eternal power and Godhead." Here's what happens, number two. Not only the things that they ignore, the facts of the things that God's put in them. And by the way, if the Holy Spirit of God begins to work on you, you can't run from God. Let me explain something to you. I was saved at the age of 21. I was raised in a preacher's home. I made false professions. We've seen some of people come later in life here lately at the church. I made professions of faith as a child, probably because I didn't understand. But I believed what was taught to me. But I didn't have an understanding of my personal responsibility to Jesus Christ. My need of forgiveness. So I did that. And then I remember making a false profession of faith around a teenage years because I had gotten myself in trouble. And I thought to myself, well, maybe, I don't know what my reasoning was. Maybe I wanted a salve to conscience. Maybe I wanted ease from the trouble I was in. And I was in trouble. If you know my father at all, I was in trouble. I had the Board of Education applied many, many times in those years across the seat of my knowledge. How many can witness with me? But I made a false profession of faith. I continue to live. Now look, we're not sinlessly perfect, are we? None of us are sinlessly perfect. You can be saved and you can go out tomorrow and you can go to the bar you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you go in the bar and you participate in things in a bar, you know what? The only difference is when you went in after your salvation, you're now a child of God. And He chastens His own. I don't go chasing down. I don't go looking at Brother Val's kids. I don't go chastening them, do I? Who do I spank? When I spank Kelsey and Keaton. Amen? I don't spank Dalton and... what's your daughter's name? Katie. I don't do that. God chastens His own. And we can do things that aren't pleasing to the Lord after salvation. But when we do, God will get us. But I was not saved, and I had not trusted the Lord as my Savior. And I was doing things in my life that I shouldn't have done. And I came to a crossroads where there was a time in my life where I had the witness of my Father's love to me, though I didn't deserve it. My father drove one time. Here's how smart we are as kids. Once again, I wish the kids were here, but I don't know. I don't give. You think sometimes you want to give them a testimony, but maybe you don't, because they'll try the same stupid things that you did. I was about 20, maybe at 19. I graduated very early from high school. I just turned 17 when I graduated. And I was only 17 for about 6 months. I knew it all. My mom and dad were dumb. You know, they're dumb until you get 21, 22, and they become the smartest people in the world, don't they? So I decided, well, I'm not living. I had cigarettes in the car Dad found. Dad came in mad as a hornet, boy. You don't want to just, you know, you don't want to charge your dad off. I mean, that's next to the wrath of God. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah, Dad's like,
amen.
You know, you might get away with it with Mom, but when Dad found out and he cooled down and he was still who he was, it wasn't pleasant. Well, I'm not living under these rules anymore, so I got in my Ford Escort. And I put all my clothes in it, all one box of them. I'm all stupid. Kids are dumb. But you know what? They're still God's, aren't they? God wasn't done developing me yet. He wasn't done working with me yet. I got in that car and I left Waldorf, Maryland, which was 13 miles south of Washington, D.C. And I drove all night long and I went to Raleigh, North Carolina. Raleigh-Durham area. And I was going to make it in the world. I had electrical skills. I've worked as an electrician since I was in 10th grade. I got electrical skills. I'll make it in the world. I went to the construction site. That's what I'll do. I'm going to go right to a construction site. I'm going to go talk to the foreman, and I'm going to go get me a job, and I'm just going to make it on my own. And here's what happened. Foreman says, son, you're awful young. Do you know, have an experience? Well, I've been doing it since I was 10th grade. Well, can you bend conduit? Well, I've done residential. Well, then I can't use you. Wait a minute. I'm God's gift to electricians. Come on. What's wrong with you? Sorry, I can't use you. I need somebody in commercial. I can't use residential experience. So I'll be all right. I slept in that Ford Escort. 1985 model. It was really roomy. Lots of room. But the love of my father, I stayed in that condition long enough to know that I needed to do something to eat. So I found, you know who I found? It wasn't a lost world that I found. It wasn't somebody that didn't care for anybody. I found the local preacher of the Independent Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, who went, by the way, to Bible school with my dad, and I had no idea. He didn't say a word to me about it. I just said, I'm in my dad's Northmore. I'm looking for work. So he had me take a tarp, and we raked leaves on these blue tarps or gray tarps or green tarps, and I raked leaves for him for like 3-4 days. I didn't tell him where I was staying. Do you have anywhere to stay? Yeah, I'm fine. I have a place to stay. I had it all figured out. I'd go to the local YMCA and take my shower and stuff. I was at least smart enough to take a shower. he followed me one night. I didn't know it. He followed me to where I was parking my Ford. I was still parking my Ford Escort at that same construction site every night, thinking to myself, well, it's more of a safe type of area. I'll be all right there. I'll take my showers. One day, that man must have called my dad. He never told me. My dad drove all the way from Maryland. I was on my own. My dad says, you can't follow the rules. You'll be on your own. And so he left one night. It had to be late in the evening. He left one night from Waldorf, Maryland. I don't know how long the trip was, but one morning about 3 o'clock in the morning, I feel this bump on the back of my car. Uh-oh. Somebody's found me. I'm a dead man. I thought I was dead. I mean, I was just a skinny, scrawny kid. And my dad brought me something. He brought me that day clothes and food and Walls Bakery Donuts. Because I loved Walls Bakery Donuts there in Waldorf, Maryland. He said, son, I love you. He says, I'm praying for you. I thought you might need some clothes, and I'm not sure what all you had, and you might need a little bit of food. He says, we're praying for you, and we love you. Are you doing all right? Yeah. You know what to say. Okay. He got back in his car. The conversation took less than a minute and drove back home. Having left me over to God the Father for my son who'd gone astray. But what he demonstrated to me that day was God the Father is always searching for his children. What love! And if God can send me an earthly father that would love me that much, and he was the heavenly father who sent his own son to love me and die for me, may I say to you that inside of every man he puts the truth of himself because he loves us. But he does not hold us irresponsible. Man chooses to ignore the facts of God. Look with me here, please. It says right here, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There will not be one human being that can look in the eye of God and say, I did not know about you. Because God says, I loved you so much, I put it in you. What to know about me? So not only do men, number one, they just simply ignore the facts of God. Look in verse 21. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And notice with me the next thing that happens. Number one, they ignore the facts of God. The working of God is in them. They continue to ignore the facts of God. They become unthankful. They become vain in their imagination. The foolish heart is darkened. They profess themselves to be wise, but truly they're fools. They do the next thing. They invent their own fables, number two, about God. Look in verse number 23 with me. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. The first thing they did was they ignore the facts of God. The second thing they do is they invent their own fables about God. God's not really going to require of me faith. Wrong. Well, God, and God is a loving God, and I thank God for his love for me. Through the Son of Jesus, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for me. But when he came like a lamb, he's coming back as a lion. And when he comes back as a lion, there will be truth to deal with. Even though we ignore the facts of God, and we begin to invent our own fables, our own imagination. Well, God's not really going, he's not going to be that type of person. God's really in everything. How many heard that? God's in the trees. The trees are God. I'm God. The carpet's God. The cotton's God. The horse is God. Everything's God anymore, isn't it? the little bitty frog. They stopped progress, building progress in our nation today. They stopped oil lines because of a little newt, a little lizard. Why? Because they've made gods of everything. But they've not. They failed to worship the one true God. Look with me. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Go study that. We're going to look at some of it in the history of even the Jewish people when they begin to worship Baal and they worship different ones and the gods of Molech and all of those things that they offered their own children to. Man is incessantly continuous in his ability to create God out of his own mind and invent his own fables about who God is. But the truth of the matter is, because they've invented their own God, I don't know how I can become guilty if I'm not careful. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than creator who is blessed forevermore. What's the consequence of what we've done this morning? Of ignoring the facts of God, inventing your own fable concerning God. Number three, the last thing is they ignite their own fate from God. Look in verse 26. For this cause, what cause? They changed the truth of God into a lie. God gave them up unto vile affections. For first they have vile affections. Women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. That's talking about what we know today as lesbianism. That's talking about the sin of sodomy in verse 26. Verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. We have diseases today because of these two verses that are uncurable. And they're passed on to innocent people, by the way. What has man done? It's not God who's judged them. The Bible says God gave them up to their own vile affections. They have sealed their own fate. And that's what man does who ignores God. Continue reading with me. And then verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their... Now, they've not only have they forgotten, they've changed the image of God. Now they want to forget God altogether. Look at it, verse 28 with me. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Then we have all these things in verse 29. Being filled. Notice the word filled. Being filled. May the Lord help us. What are we as Christians to do? What am I to do? Lord, help me. Please, Lord, help me. Be filled with the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. How can I tell if I am filled with the Spirit of God? Do I have these traits, these fruit of the Spirit in my life? But lost men who've ignored God and won't give Him any credence to who He says He is. It says they've been filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Wow. Is that not the world we live in today? We live in an unmerciful world, don't we? Where's the fruit of the Spirit? I'm convinced that as a Christian, I need to be more careful to be full of the fruit of the Spirit of God in my own life. Because if I'm not, then I have given credence, or I have given room for Satan to allow me to have some of these traits. I don't want those traits. Backbiters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parent, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. My. Notice with me, the person who's ignored God, invented his own fables about God, and number three, he's invited himself to the judgment of God. Look at verse 32. For who, knowing the judgment of God, that's the thing about it that gets me. There cannot be a man upon this earth who can stand and say, God, you didn't let me know. Because God says, no, you knew my judgment was coming. I don't see the young man here. I invited him to Sunday school. I sat down with him yesterday, and he just began to spew forth what lost men spew forth. And I sat and waited, and I sat and waited, and I sat and said, Lord, I'm trying to get through to this guy, but this guy's really, really helped me. He began to spew forth all these things. Finally, he looked at me and said, what about you? I said, I'm glad you asked. I gave him a little bit of my testimony. I said, all I know is this, Tim. I said, I know I was lost, that my sin separated me from God, and if I were to die in the condition that I was in, I would go to hell because of my sin. And I said, God loved me, and he made a way for me not to have to do that because he paid my price. And Tim, he paid your price. Have you trusted the Lord as your Savior? He just looked at me. And I said to Tim, you can either trust him or reject him. I said, do you think it's a mistake that you sat down here beside me today? Lost men don't know, do they? Everything that's going on. But I can tell you this, that lost men cannot say, I was never told. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day, every sunrise, every sunset, uttereth the speech of God.
Yes, sir.
Every majestic mountain says, there's a God who created it.
Amen.
Every song that a bird sings says, there's the mercy and grace of God today.
Amen.
Let me ask you this question this morning. Our pastor's about ready to come and preach to us a sermon about the resurrection of a risen Lord. Is it real to us? Is it real to you? Have you ever trusted him as your Savior? If you've never trusted him as your Savior, you're going to be given opportunity to trust him. Because look in verse 32, the sad end, they ignite their own faith. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure. Notice that with me. In them that do them. It's one thing to do something stupid and sin, right? It's another thing to have pleasure in doing it. As a Christian, we don't have pleasure in the things that easily beset us, do we? And you have them too. I have them. We all have the things that easily beset us. Sins and weight. The Bible says we do. None of us are perfect. But may I say this, if you have pleasure in doing those things, there's a problem. It's an indicator that you have a problem, that you need the Savior, and you need to ask him forgiveness and to save your soul. Because there is a fate, and it is worse than death. And it's absence from God forever in eternity, in a place that we know in the book of Revelation that's called the lake of fire, because we've not trusted him. What have you done with the gospel? What have I done with the gospel? As a Christian, I'm convicted in my heart. What have I done with the gospel in the light of the fact that men ignore the facts of the gospel? They invent their own fables about God. They ignite their own fate. Somebody on a street level, in everyday elbow-to-elbow business, it's not just the pastor's job, ought to be saying something about a Savior that loves them with compassion. Amen? Have you trusted the Lord as your Savior? My hope and desire is that you have. That's what lost men do with the gospel. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. I thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, I thank you for the day that in November around 1989, I walked that little aisle because the Holy Spirit of God had convicted me. And I got on my knees and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, realizing I could not save myself. There's nothing I could do to merit eternal life, but I must simply receive the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's some this morning already in our Sunday school class who continue to ignore you, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that the holy hound of heaven would be all over them this morning. Lord, help our hearts to be right and prepared to worship you this morning. Fill Pastor Ross with the Spirit's power, the Holy Spirit's power, and give him utterance from upon high. Help the hearts of those that are lost here this morning to be prepared to hear the good news of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We'll be careful to praise you and honor you through what you say and do. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen.